Welcome back to Raw Vegan Lens. I'm your host, Sherry Michelle. Let's go. I apologize for the the sounds of kids playing in the background. Sorry, not sorry. It's a nice sound. I'm in a park. Just walked a little trail and meditated. Meditated a full 20 minutes for the first time in a long time. So that felt good. I'm out in a very small town called DeKalb, Illinois. Yesterday, I just went with my gut and would spend the day with some of Gabe's family. A family member was visiting from out of town and out of state, and it was a nice enough afternoon, but he was in a mood, and today I was supposed to go back to the bus driving training that I didn't want to do from the very beginning, but I took it feeling pressured that I needed to get back to work, making a steady income and help out more again. And it was a job that I knew I wasn't going to like. And Saturday I had a separate training at another company, and it was abundantly clear that I wasn't going to like it. It was the most awful training. Just a whole freaking day, 8 hours of the most boring material ever. My apologies if you're a school bus driver, but it just has no interest for me. It does not resonate with me at all, especially with all the talk about the gangs and needing to educate yourself about gangs. And at the end of the day, right before she gave the test, she said, "Every driver I know has had to call 911 on a parent who has gotten on the bus, which is against the rules, to yell at a child for something they did to their child." And that would just seal it for me. What? What? No. I do not need this kind of drama in my life. I do not need to be responsible for a bunch of children right now. I do not need to take care of my former mother-in-law right now, which is something I had agreed to do. Like, all just so much codependent behavior that needs to be left behind. So as I'm driving home, we're driving home from this family get-together, I just said, I need to be alone. I need to heal myself, and I can't do it at home. I can't do it. I've tried. I need to be alone, and just, I will come and walk Jebby at night for her night walk. I'll keep doing that. But otherwise, I need to do my own thing, and I'm going to do it. It was just like the words were coming out of my mouth before it even really it was not premeditated. It just happened. We had kind of broken up for a day a couple weeks ago when I had a flat tire, got my car to the tire place, and he was going to meet me there, and he was going to spot me the money for the tire. And then he had this huge sigh because he had to go get cash. And I had like spent several hours like with this already, and all he had to do was, there was an ATM machine like 100 feet from the tire store, and I'd already told him about it. Like, what was the big deal? This is how he reacts when I am up shit creek and need his help. And it's something he learned from his dad, to sigh. And I feel like that's kicking me when I'm down. I already don't want to ask for his help, so to sigh in response to me asking for his help I hate it. And he knows this. We've been together 11 years now. My dad's response whenever I was in a jam and needed help was, "Are you okay? Are you safe? Where are you? I'm on my way." So it's a stark contrast, and I really prefer the way my dad handled things as to the way his dad did. And his dad's a therapist, or he was. He's retired now. Really nice guy, but maybe somebody was like that with him. I don't know. I just find it unacceptable. And it's not like he doesn't know. It's not like we haven't talked about it. But we found our way through that. I was like, well, we can't break up over a sigh. That's ridiculous. But it was more than that. Of course it was. I am now realizing, just in a half a day of living my life completely differently and in a way that resonates with me and feels right in my heart, that all this grief, I think, may have mostly just been plain old depression, because I was living a life that is not me. And I need to heal myself. And I just am, I've been stuck in this cycle with him. I've just, and it is very codependent, I think, to just like defer to him and what we're going to do. He will spend the rest of his life on a couch watching TV if left to his own devices. And that's the way it may go. But I'm not going to be there. I have told him probably, oh, I feel like I've said it 100 times, I will not waste my life rotting on this couch watching TV with you. I don't know how many more times I needed to say it. It was just, I needed to show him I'm not going to do that. And we're not, I'm not doing carry out with you. I'm not doing delivery with you. I'm not eating junk with you anymore. Like, I want to be fruitarian to heal myself right now. And then transition into raw vegan. And then, you know, maybe fast some again. But right now, I just want to be eating very simple raw fruitarian. And living my own freaking life. And just taking care of myself. And a little bit taking care of Jebby by walking her at night. And spending time with her each day still. But I am over an hour away from the city right now. I am so tired of city life. God, I'm tired of it. And he knows this. And I've been saying this for years. I've never stayed in one place so long, except I guess on the farm. It was 10 years we were there. But that's completely different. You know, you're surrounded by animals and nature. And I had a lot of freedom there. And I can't stand the traffic. The noise, the overstimulation, I cannot stand any of it. So I worked last night in the city, and then I got the hell out of there this morning, early this morning, and drove way out to DeKalb. And why DeKalb? Just because it kind of reminds me of where I grew up. It's a small town, it's rural. I mean, they have Starbucks and stuff, so not, you know, not quite as rural as where I grew up, but far enough away from the city that I can breathe. I resigned from the bus driving job this morning, thanked my trainer for being an awesome trainer, thanked, my boss for the opportunity, but it's very clear to me that this is not a good fit for me. So I'm developing a new routine. I'm going back to trading. I'm going to learn the other side of it, learning options and shorting. And I have a good trading buddy that I've known for several years, and she's still in it. And you know, is it something I'm super passionate about? No, but it's a way for me to travel the way that I need to. Something that really sparked this this big departure is I heard about this book called, it's an international bestseller. It's called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying. It was written by a woman, Bronnie Ware. I believe she was a hospice nurse. I'll just read you the table of contents because the first one really struck me. I have just started reading this, but it really got my attention just hearing number one, regret number one. I wish I'd had the courage to live a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. Amen. And I did that. I did that for almost a year when I left and did Raw Nomadic Lens. If you go back to the beginning of this. But I came back because I'm loyal. I do love my partner. I do care about him. But I care about him and love him like a brother. And it's been that way for a long time. I've talked about that before on this podcast. I just need to be my own person for at least the summer. To heal. To build up this income stream. Which is, and basically because the market is so volatile, I'm switching from swing trading to day trading. But I haven't traded since last fall. Maybe it's been even longer. So it's just getting back on the horse again. And relearning some things and then learning some new things. I already feel so much better. So much better. I'm so happy to just eat fruit. Perfectly fine eating fruit. All of that eating the junk, I'm really starting to think that was so much about my dissatisfaction with my life, my unhappiness and my depression over living a life I didn't want. I am so tired of our apartment and just the monotony, the routine, I'm so bored. Well, not today. And Gabe, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry, honey. But I feel like I'm saving my life here. He was surprisingly accepting of it. I think he has known this has been coming. Of course, like I said, we broke up for a day a couple weeks ago. And I think he made peace with it then. He thanked me for coming back at all from the first time I solo traveled. I'm not solo traveling right now because, I mean, other than I'll go to Iowa to see my family, but we just got Jebby through surgery. It's really important that I see her on a regular basis and that she knows that I am still here for her. And that's just as far as I'm planning out right now. I packed the bare minimum. It's a beautiful day. I'm in a beautiful park I've never been to before, which is really refreshing. I'm going to go study now at Starbucks or another coffee shop, study some trading things. I'm going to do a little dashing. Like, what am I doing for money now? I'm just going to dash. It's fine. Is it my dream? Fuck no. But it works. For what I'm doing right now, it's fine. It works. Until I get trading up off the ground again over the summer, it's fine. It's flexible. It's exactly the flexibility that I need. I do not need a boss right now. I do not need one more damn person expecting anything from me right now. I just need to heal myself and I need the space and the time to do it. I mean, this is serious. This myasthenia gravis is no joke. I am weak. I'm not going to say that. I am strong. I am strong. I'm feeling weak. My legs, especially. I'm stiff. I'm sore from eating junk to comfort myself because I was unhappy. And I've had some grapefruit this morning. I feel fine. I don't feel like I want anything else. I've never done fruitarian before. It's high time I tried it. I know it'll be very healing because it's very low fat. Granted, avocados are fruit too, but I don't have to eat them, but I can if I need to. So today I had a slice of mango and decided it was not good. So I tossed the mango, but I have another container of it. I had some grape tomatoes. I had a banana. I had a little bit of pineapple that was awesome. I'm just going to keep it really simple. It's funny. My raw buddy, Erica, in the UK, she just had her Vitamix break. And I said, you know what? The same thing happened to me. The bottom gave out. And I've had my Vitamix since 2008. So, you know, these things happen. And we were both looking forward to nice cream. She's like, is it even possible to be raw without, you know, I know she wasn't asking this seriously because she knows the answer, but without a Vitamix? Yeah, of course it is. And I think this happened to both of us because, like, pretty close to the same time, like mine just happened a couple months ago, because we need to learn to eat simple raw so that there's no excuse, no matter where we go. You walk into a store and you buy an apple. You buy some bananas. You buy some blackberries. You buy some tomatoes and, you know, there are savory fruits that are just fine too. So you don't have to just eat sweet fruit. Yeah, this is where I am right now. This isn't going to be a long podcast, of course, today either. I did start a new YouTube channel. I think I told you about it last episode, but it's called I Fought the Raw and the Raw Won. And it's going to be about foraging. I just have one little tiny thing up there about foraging that I did in Hawaii. And in the first time I ever foraged for greens was in Shawnee National Park in southern Illinois. And I'd like to do more of that. And I purchased the paperback copy of Sergei Batenko's book on foraging. I did have the e-copy, but I couldn't find it. It must be in my missing laptop. So I think I brought it with me. Anyway, I'm going to be going home each night to walk Jebby. So I have a little list of things I need to grab when I go home again. And, you know, a couple of friends have asked, like, where are you going to stay? Where are you going to sleep? Just like I did a lot of the time when I was traveling before by myself. I slept in my car a lot. And I just got to be very comfortable with it. I became uncomfortable with tent camping because a friend of mine had a father who was a sheriff, and another deputy sheriff turned out to be a serial killer, and he was preying on people camping, and they caught him and he went to prison. But it took some convincing by a teenage girl that managed to get away. He tied her and her friend to a tree, and they didn't believe her at first, but he did go to prison eventually. And she said, you know, this friend of mine, she said, I would never tent camp by myself. I would never tent camp even with a group of, like, two couples. She says, maybe not even six couples. And that just really, like, part of me was really disappointed. And part of me was really grateful that she told me this. And I don't believe in accidents or coincidences. I believe we cross paths for a reason. Maybe that was it. Maybe it was something else. But I'm grateful for the information. And I'm kind of over tent camping. We've used my tent since then for parties and, you know, my niece's camping-themed bridal shower. And the kids played in it, my little cousins, and stuff like that. I might loan it to a friend of mine who's going solo traveling by, you know, he's leaving soon. And his tent is no good. So, you know, I may have occasion to use it again, but I'm much more comfortable in my car. And I am going to let the shame around that go, because it's silly. Why would I care what anybody thinks about that? As Mel Robinson says, let them. Let them think whatever they want about it. It's my life. It's my health. It's my happiness. I made custom window covers for my car. I'm going to grab those tonight. From when I traveled before, and it works for me. I need the freaking solitude, and it's not in the budget yet to, you know, pay to stay somewhere every night, and I don't want to stay with friends or family. I just want to be by myself and develop a healthy routine. And you know, maybe it's because I'm ADHD that it's that I have to go to this length, these lengths, but regardless, I'm doing it. It's what's needed. I've tried to heal myself at home in a relationship, doing jobs I hate. It doesn't work. It doesn't work for me. And I don't care if people think I sound self-absorbed or entitled or like a spoiled brat. Again, let them. I'm going to heal myself. I've done it before. I've reversed these symptoms before. I'm going to do it again. You know, I've been dealing with rashes from the diabetes. I have been, you know, I comfort myself so much with junk because I'm unhappy and I don't feel that way today. And it's not even noon. I've been living this new way of life for less than 12 hours. I didn't get enough sleep, but I don't care. I'm just so happy to just be me right now and to just be taking care of myself. And why should we feel guilt about that? What good are we to others if we're just living a life that makes us unhappy? I mean, I see my health declining. I'm experiencing it. You know, incontinence, you know, I'm not just experiencing weakness of my arm and leg muscles. It's, you know, my pelvic floor. It's, you know, I have to stop this runaway train and turn it around. It actually feels more like a Leviathan, like this massive ship, but I am turning it around. I am doing it. I have begun to turn it around today. And I'm so relieved and I'm proud of myself. My partner is a really good guy. He's a real sweetheart. But you know when something's not right. You know by the way you feel. He's the funniest guy I know. Is that a reason to stay together? Why can't we be friends? He's friends with his ex-wife. They're great friends. Why can't we do that? I cannot stay in the same place doing the same shit over and over and over again. And here's the thing. Yeah, I have ADHD. This is what we call it now. You know, during this time in history. But it really just feels like a square peg trying to fit in a round hole. Society's expectations of how I'm supposed to live my life. I was born this way. And I don't believe God, the universe, source, creator, whatever you want to call it, I don't think it makes mistakes. I was born this way. I need change. I thrive on change. I thrive on seeing new things, new places, meeting new people, having new experiences a lot, often. And I just start to crumble when I'm stuck in repetition and being in the same place all the time. And, you know, at the end of the day, what I want more than anything is just to be able to visit my friends and family when I want, where I want, how I want. That's not a lot to ask. I think it's a basic necessity in life to be able to see your friends and family when you want. Don't worry. They won't all be this heavy. There will be cheerful podcasts again. But right now, I'm just in such a place of extreme gratitude and relief. I got the exhaust on my car fixed. I was told about a year ago that it was the catalytic converter, and which is like $1,000 repair. But I went back to the same garage, you know, my same guys that I always go to, and they're phenomenal. This was the exception. He never put it on the lift when he said that. So the other guy, when he goes to change my oil, I said, can you just give me an estimate again? And he came back and said, it's not your catalytic converter. It's just your flex arm. That's $200. And I was like, what? I've been driving this thing so loud for a year. Like, I've been too depressed to get back on my feet, to make any real money, to accomplish important things like this. And Gabe's helped me out a lot financially. But, and you can't pass the emissions test here in Illinois without your catalytic converter working. So I just thought I was stuck. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. So this car repair, he ended up only charging me $150. I think it was because we talked about my nephew, Bara, who died in January, and just how it's been a really rough year. They're Arabic too, so that's how it came up. And yeah, so he gave me a really good deal on it. And I just feel so grateful. There have been a number of things in my life lately that have turned out to be much easier solutions than I thought they would be. This whole thing, like not overthinking it, just letting the words come out of my mouth and following through on it within the hour. And you know, it's funny. I saw angel number 333 twice on Jebby's walk after I started packing, and again after I left the apartment. And 333 is generally, you have the green light for whatever you're currently thinking about doing. You have all green lights. Go for it. And I thought that was super cool. Oh, and I'm looking at 777 in front of me. Miracles happen for me every day. I've seen 777 a lot, along with 222, which is being a master builder. I can create any kind of life I want. Well, you know what? Right now, this is the life I want. The only thing that would make it any better, honestly, was if I didn't have to DoorDash. But, you know, need to eat, need to pay bills, need to, you know, have my car running. So I'm going to go study trading again and maybe read a little out of this book, The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying by Bronnie Ware, B-R-O-N-N-I-E. Last name is W-A-R-E. You read the back cover because I haven't read it and it's probably something in here for both of us. It's based on the blog post that reached 8 million readers. A life transformed by the dearly departing. Ware writes of the phenomenal clarity of vision that people gain at the end of their lives and how we might learn from their wisdom. That's from The Guardian. And I just got a copy from the library, actually, and it came really quickly. After too many years of unfulfilling work, Bronnie Ware began searching for a job with meaning. Despite having no formal qualifications or experience, she found herself working in palliative care. It's so funny. I have considered that recently, again, working in hospice, just because it seems like it would be a really good fit for me. During the time she spent tending to the needs of those who were dying, Bronnie's life was transformed. Later, she wrote a blog post about the most common regrets that the people she had cared for had expressed to her. The post, also called The Top 5 Regrets of the Dying, has been read millions of times all over the world since it was first published. By applying the lessons of those nearing their death in her own life, Bronnie developed an understanding that it is possible for everyone, if they make conscious choices, to die with peace of mind. Bronnie's delightful memoir is a courageous, life-changing book that will leave you feeling more compassionate and inspired to live the life you are truly here to live. Bronnie Ware is an author, speaker, and songwriter based in northern New South Wales, Australia. Her favorite role is as a mother. Her favorite teacher is nature. Bronnie is also a teacher of courage and a great advocate for leaving space to breathe. To learn more about regret-free living and truly create the life your own heart yearns for, visit www.bronnieware.com. B-R-O-N-N-I-E-W-A-R-E.com. And the Sunday Times says it's heartrending. So, yeah, so far it's good, but like I said, I just started it, and I'm going to go study some trading right now. I'm going to probably do some dashing this afternoon, then I'm going to drive back to the city and walk Jubby and play with her and take a shower and grab a few things from the apartment and probably chat with Gabe some, and then I'm going to go do some more dashing. And I'm fine with that. And anyone who has opinions about it, let them. Thanks for listening. You could have done a lot of things with these 34 minutes, but you are here with me. I hope you got something out of this. I hope you are being true to yourself today and every day. And know that if you're not, it's going to catch up with you. It definitely caught up with me. Love you guys.